have been listening to the Cool Cats. We hope you have enjoyed. That was Duke Ellington. This is Electro Kitty and...
Yours truly, Meow Meow Kitty. Honestly, I hope you enjoyed. It was too much fun.
We hope you enjoyed. Have fun for the rest of the night.
As I said.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
And thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed.
Yes.
Great night.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The Hudson Valley Picture Show traveling series brings cinema to locations around the region. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the Community Theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, you're a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
Thank you. Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Jada. I am excited for Valentine's Day. Hooray! Chocolate and stuff. And, yeah.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
That's what we'll do today. If you were confused by Jada being excited about Valentine's Day and think Jada doesn't realize it already happened, it's because we were recording this on February 13th. So it's tomorrow in our timeline.
Chocolate, 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 chocolate.
Chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. Exactly. But can I say something about Valentine's Day? Because I don't actually really care that much about Valentine's Day, although I hope everyone feels loved out there. I hope you know if you're listening to this radio show, we love you for listening. But Valentine's Day is my sister's birthday, so that trumps everything.
Oh, that's so
my sister's the best. To me, it's all about my sister. But anyway, yeah, we hope everyone had a great Valentine's Day, and we hope you're still feeling the love even now. But we're going to talk about
those of you who don't have a Valentine, you can drown your sorrows in chocolate. It's okay. It's socially acceptable today.
Yeah, and you can always show yourself some love. Never hurts to show yourself
chocolate. Some love. That's how you do it.
You can show yourself some love with chocolate if you so choose. Yes. And so, in addition to Valentine's Day, we're also in the Lunar New Year celebration timeframe, which is celebrated in various places around the globe, including here in the U.S. And I read a book recently that I wanted to share that is about the Lunar New Year. It is a middle grade novel by Grace Lynn, and it's the first in a series. I think there's just two books. So the first book is The Year of the Dog by Grace Lynn, who is a wonderful author. She's written picture books, nonfiction, and middle grade fiction. And all the ones I've read are great. I haven't read all of her books yet, but some of my very favorites. And she's an author and an illustrator. And this is a chapter book that has pictures in it. So they're sort of like line drawing type pictures. They're not full color or anything, but they're very nice. But The Year of the Dog is about a young Chinese American girl named Pacey, whose parents are Taiwanese. And it centers on, or it starts off as the Lunar New Year is kicking off, and it's the Year of the Dog. And Pacey's mom tells her that this is a good year for friends, family, and finding herself. And so Pacey sets off on that journey. So she's trying to find what her talent is, to figure out what she wants to do with her life, perhaps. And she makes a new best friend. She has been the only Chinese American kid in her school for some time. And then one day she shows up at school and there's a new kid whose parents are also Taiwanese, and they become really fast friends. It's really nice. And then there's a lot of different things as she goes through the Year of the Dog. So it really follows her through the year, including going to a summer camp for Taiwanese American children and celebrating sort of the like American holidays, and her family puts their spin on it. Like, her mom really doesn't want to have a turkey because they don't like turkey for Thanksgiving. And so it's a really nice book about a young woman making new friends, figuring out some stuff about herself. And it's not a memoir, but it is based on her childhood experience and has some connections in some ways. Like, her Taiwanese name is Pacey, or that's what her family calls her at home, but she goes by Grace at school because that's like her more American name. And so Grace Lynn is the author. So that's based on her name. And there's like a story that her character writes during the book that is actually a story that she wrote in real life and is a really great picture book. So it was a really good book and really nice time to read it during the Lunar New Year. So I could get in the spirit of the holiday. That is The Year of the Dog by Grace Lynn. And the follow-up book is The Year of the Rat. And then I think there were just two books. I think it was just the first book and then a companion novel.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, it was a great book. I'm glad I finally read it. I had somehow picked up the book The Year of the Rat along the line. I think I came across it at a book sale or something and so bought it, but then realized it was the second book in the series. So I'd been meaning to read this book for a while and just hadn't gotten around to it. And my mom and my niece and I like to read books together, and we had to read a short one. And I was like, how about this one? So we read it. It was very good.
Yeah, I don't have that many kind of books like that. Usually books, I like...
Like short books or the type of book it was?
Short books, usually. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have that kind of book. I like long, big books about spies, about humor or humorous spies.
Spies, humor, or humorous spies.
Typically humorous spies.
Yeah, that's a good combo. But it has to be big, huh? I like a nice short book sometimes. If it's good. It has to be good, of course, but mm-hmm. I appreciate a thin book. Anyways, what did you want to talk about today?
I read recently this book. Well, reread. I probably talked about it here because I've talked about all these books. It's called Counting by Sevens by Hallgeirg Sloan, and it's very good. It's about this girl who is adopted, and she's a genius, and she likes gardening and stuff, and then she goes to her, I think it's a high school, and then her parents died, so now she has to deal with all sorts of crazy events. I actually can't spoil that much more because it's a lot of the detail starts like after the first couple chapters, and that's what I just described. And she, it's called Counting by Sevens because she counts by sevens to calm herself down because seven is one of her favorite numbers.
Interesting. So is the counting that she does, the counting by sevens, is that something that she's always done, or is that something that she starts doing once her parents pass away?
She always did it. It's a very good book. I totally recommend it. One of my favorite rereads. Another one of my most favorite rereads is Animal Farm. So
that just
tells you about me.
It's an interesting combo. I had read Animal Farm, I think in maybe freshman year of high school. I'm not sure. And then I reread it probably in my 30s, maybe. And I barely remembered it from high school because it had been, you know, some time, but I really enjoyed it both times. It's one of those books, like, I enjoyed it as a teen. It was one of my favorite assigned readings in high school, and then really enjoyed it as an adult as well, except for the very sad part. As an adult, I was like, no. I don't remember how I responded to that as a teen, but it's interesting doing rereads where there's like sad moments in it. And half the time I forget about the sad moments until I reread it and I start getting closer to that sad moment. And then I'm like, no, I hope I'm remembering wrong. I definitely had that with Bridge to Terabithia, which is also a great book that I enjoyed on reread. That one I probably read in elementary school though, and then didn't reread again until I was in my 30s or so. But well, I still have not read Counting by Sevens. I actually don't know if I've read anything by Hallgeirg Sloan yet. I really want to read her book that she wrote with Meg Wolitzer called Tonight Owl from Dogfish. Heard that's really good. Heard I'll Be There is very good. Short, Elephant in the Room, basically all her books. But those are ones that I've heard of, but haven't gotten around to it yet. A book that I did finally get around to finishing and really loved it. I thought it was basically a perfect book, except that there were some typos in it, which I never quite understand how that happens with editors out there and everything. But it didn't hurt the story. So I still gave it a perfect score. But I recently read Mexikid by Pedro Martin, and it's a graphic memoir, and he wrote and illustrated it. And it's based on his a moment in his childhood. Pedro Martin, who went by Peter as well, that was sort of his Americanized name. He was one of nine. I think there were nine siblings. I don't know if they had any more actually after the story, but at the time of the story, there were nine siblings. And he lived with his parents and his siblings in the United States. And so his five oldest siblings were born in Mexico, and then the younger children were all born in the United States. And they have a pretty crowded house for, you know, it's a big family, but they decide they're going to add one more person to the family, which is his abuelo. So they get a Winnebago and they have the family truck, and they drive on this road trip down to Pegueros, Mexico, which is pretty far down in Mexico. So they drive 2,000 miles to go pick up their abuelo and bring him home to live with them in the States. And so this is the story of that road trip, and just a really fun and interesting graphic novel. Get to see a little bit of Pedro Martin's childhood as a young artist who is really into superheroes and graphic novels. And he starts hearing these stories about his abuelo and his many adventures, and starts picturing him sort of as this like legend or the superhero. And then he meets his grandfather and is kind of back and forth on deciding, like, is he like kind of an amazing superhero sort of figure, or is he just an old guy? And maybe it's somewhere in between. But you get like all these different moments in the road trip that are just really fun to read, like different mini adventures that they have, or funny experiences, or weird interactions, various stuff they pick up along the trip, different experiences with border crossings, and then dealing with like being a kid on a road trip in a Winnebago with all your siblings and your parents in charge of what you do and don't do. And it's just a really great book. I highly suggest people check it out. So again, that's Mexikid by Pedro Martin. And it's a middle grade graphic novel. It just recently won a bunch of awards. I think it won, definitely won a Newbery Honor Award. And I think it won two Pourabeaupré Awards too. Let me double check. Yeah, it won both the Pierre Belpré Award for Illustration and the Pourabeaupré Award for Author. And those are books that center on the Latinx experience. So award-winning, honor-receiving book. Plus, it's got my seal of approval. You can have fun. See if you can find those typos I mentioned. They're very minor. It's just like, I wonder if it happens. I feel like I've noticed it more with graphic novels. And I wonder if something about the way that they do the like text in a graphic novel is just harder to edit. I'm not sure. But there are a couple things like where it'd be like an I before an E where it should have been an E before an I, that sort of thing. Just some vowels swapped. But I decided I'd give it a perfect score anyways because it's that good. So check it out.
Sounds nice. Yeah. I love another book.
Oh, great.
A book that I've been reading. There is this book. I probably talk about this. Pretty famous, The Phantom Tollbooth by... Mm-hmm.
Jules Pfeiffer?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's Norton Juster, right?
Yeah.
Is the illustrations by...
I think so.
Pfeiffer? I was like, why does that name in my head?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Pretty classic book. About this boy who's always bored, never looks up, always wants to be where he just came from. And then he encounters this magical world and goes on in a big adventure. I literally can't tell you anything more than that.
Yeah, I read that when I was probably in middle school, elementary or middle school. So I don't remember it at all. I just remember it being very odd and fun. But I was in a play of it when I was a kid. I was basically an extra. I think I maybe had one line or something, but it was a weird play too. I do like the artwork in that. And it was Jules Pfeiffer that did the artwork. I was like, why do I have that name in my head? But the illustrations are pretty fun. I feel like I almost remember them more than the story. Do you have a favorite part? A favorite weird moment?
No.
All of it?
I like it all.
Yeah. So do you have anything next on your to read list? Anything you're excited about?
No, just I like reading new books in general.
Cool. I'm reading too many books at once, as per usual. But the one that I just started reading with my mom and my niece, because again, we're trying to read something short before my mom can't read with us for a little bit. So we picked out a book of short stories. And the one we decided to read is The Chronicle of Harris Burdock 14 Amazing Authors Tell the Tales, and it's by Chris Van Allsburg, more or less, because it's really by a number of authors. But so Chris Van Allsburg is the author and illustrator of The Polar Express, Jumanji, so many books, The Stranger, Zathura, and one of his books is The Mysteries of Harris Burdick, which is basically 14 black and white drawings that are each accompanied by a title and a caption that entice readers to make up his or her own story. And so that's a picture book. And so what this book is it takes those 14 black and white drawings and then major popular authors write the short stories to accompany each of the illustrations. I can see if I can get a list of the authors. There weren't any authors that I wasn't familiar with. And part of the reason I thought of this is one of the authors is Jules Pfeiffer, who did the illustrations for Phantom Tofu. But there's Tabitha King, John Sieska, Sherman Alexie, Gregory Maguire, Cory Doctorow, Jules Pfeiffer, Linda Sue Park, Walter Dean Myers, Lois Lowry, Kate DiCamillo, M.T. Anderson, Louis Sachar, Chris Van Allsburg, and that's it. So a bunch of big names. So far, I've only read one of them. I think they read another one today, but I'm waiting to hear what they read so I can catch up. I think they were going to read the Lois Lowry one, but I'm excited to check them all out. I love the idea of using illustrations, and these are very interesting, weird illustrations, to inspire the writing of a short story as sort of a jumping off place. Or maybe it's not a jumping off place, but maybe some of the pictures are from the middle of the story. Like you find an image and you're like, how does it get to this point? And then what happens after? It might be the end of the story. Who knows? But I think it's a really cool idea. Maybe people that read this book would be interested in writing a little short story. But that is The Chronicles of Harris Burdick by Chris Van Allsburg and several other authors. So that's what I'm reading this week, as well as many other things. But we're out of time for today, so we're going to have to say goodbye. But we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then, happy reading!